performer you're going to see today. Bharatanatyam was performed in the temples of India many thousands of years ago. And until 1947, until India gained her independence, it was still performed in the temples of India. Devadasis, or handmaidens of God, sacrificed their life to learn this unique dance form and prayed in the morning and in the evening in the temple altars, which we'll call Garbhagraha, and performed the dance form as an offering to God, along with flowers, fruits, and shlokas, or Sanskrit sayings or hymns that they did. They performed dance as an offering. These Devadasis later were misused by the kings and were requested to dance to perform for money or for funds or for privileges, like house, car, whatever they could get at the time, say nobility then, and they performed in the courts of the temple, of the kings. For about 20-25 years, the entire Devadasi system was misused, and people from good homes would not let their children even learn dancing. To that extent, it had a bad name or a bad face. E. Krishna Iyer and Rukmini Devi Arundel were two prominent figures in India who revived this dance form and opened an institution later where children could go and learn dancing. Now, India, we are very orthodox in our beliefs. We are not closed. We're very open in our outlook. So we let our children do this unique dance form. Some of the children are still think it's a taboo to do Indian dancing. But open-minded parents have let their children learn. One was my father. He was with the NASA. He was a scientific research officer at NASA, Kennedy Space Center. In the 60s, he came down to town here. And his being here as a citizen helped me learn Indian classical dancing back home in India. You have to be a little affluent in India, a little, to go and learn an art form, because things were expensive. Things were not very easily available. Dancing, to learn dancing, I had to wait 45 years ago. I had to travel 3 miles in a bus, I remember, it's a public bus, walk a long, tall bridge. Very tall and very long for me at the time, because I was that little, five, six years old. And then go and learn from its guru. The distance between the guru and the teacher would be at least 25 feet. I've never hugged my teacher. I've never could touch him. But yes, we had to wash his clothes after he wore them, or wash where he sat. We had to sweep and swab the place, make sure we took care of the little gurukula or that place where he had. But we were not, the guru was almost godlike at the time, during our time. And learning that in an oral tradition, there was no written scriptures for this dance form at all. Everything was oral. To that extent that in order for us to play for a rhythm, say tabla, mridangam, we had to know the boli for that, the syllables for that. For example, so I do dit dit tai on the feet, which is dit dit tai. Dit dit tai, dit dit tai. But the boli on the drums would go like this. Tadiku ding ku taka ding ku ding ku taka ding ding ku kuta ding ku kuta ku kuta ding ku taka ding ding ku tak krudat talang ku taka tadiku ding ku taka ding ku ding ku taka ding ding ku kuta ding ku kuta ku kuta ding ku taka ding ku tak krudat talang ku taka tadiku ding ku ta taka ta ding ku taka ta ding ku ta taka ta ding ku tadiku ding ku taka ta ding ku tak ta ding ku tak ta ding ku ta ditta ditta ta krudatarudom ta ditta ditta tai krudatarudom ta ditta ditta. We had to say that with our mouth orally, learn, listen, and then it was, my Masterji used to say, if you're an animal, you're told once. For a human being, you should understand from my, what is Ishara? Ishara is my sign. If I point things to you, you should understand. For an animal, you have to be told once. And others are supposed to be wild. More than once, if you have to tell a person, it's not even worth having you close by. To that extent, we were trained by the society, by the teachers then. Perfection was very, very, was mandatory, was important. We had to bathe early in the morning to go to dance class, not come back from class and bathe. From there, after the class was over, there was no shower system like this here. We had to go straight from there to school, a 9-to-4 school, where we had to learn. Our mother tongue was taught at home, a national language. Hindi was mandatory. International language, English was compulsory. That was our medium of instruction most of the time. We have to learn the regional language. When I say when you learn a language, you have to learn to read, write, and speak it. By the time we were in the fifth grade, we had to know English, Hindi, my mother tongue, that was Tamil. I lived in Maharashtra, so Marathi was compulsory for me to learn. And besides that, we had reading, writing, and arithmetic. I'm 51, so I'm talking my time, even before the gentleman's time. Much, much beyond that time. I feel that. I'm sorry if I could be wrong. And then come back in the evening to go to learn an instrumental music because we did not have video, no radio either at the time. One radio, one thing, it was always classical music or classical dance form that you saw. 1947, India gained her independence. Communication progressed and prospered. And we were lucky today. From the temples of India, you see it in the stages of a folk theater. In a remote place like this, we are ready to educate the masses, so we are here. We are ready to share the diversified art that we have. We call it a fine art, and I truly believe it's a fine art. I might also add that this is the only form of worship that I know. I do have a dance academy in Orlando. Besides that, I travel. I'm a nurse by profession. I work 11 to 7 at night and then go every afternoon after 1:30, wait for schools in remote temple areas, Jacksonville, Tampa, Brandon, Cefna, Altamont Springs, and Hernando County. I teach in 12 counties. It could be a craze. There's not money in it because not everybody wants their children to learn Indian ethnic dancing. But my entire livelihood is to make people understand that this is almost 4,000 years ago, what in its purest form that I can submit today. For which, yes, I have gained a lot of fame. I've been invited by Disney to do the grand opening of Asia. I was privileged to do the grand opening of Animal Kingdom. I perform at the NASA Kennedy Space Center. My children have seen a lot of diversified areas. They have seen from remotest of areas, like folk theaters like this, to little schools they go and present, Asian Gala. I think she must have at least by now given at 40, 50 performances. To that extent, they have educated the masses. Today she'll present Natasha Kaltwom. In rites of passage, as an offering to God, she, a spinster, in India 50 years ago, she would be ready for marriage, but today she is a young girl. 15 years later, she'll decide what she has to do with her life, hopefully. She prays to God, God Shiva, as Lord King of Dance, as Nataraja. She praises him, seeks his blessings for a successful life. Jennifer Yamin will now present Natasha Kaltwom in Bharatanatyam style of dancing.
Gana, 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 vidi, hadi, sevita.
Now it's the teacher's turn. I will be presenting a song, a composition by Meera. Meera is a 16th century contemporary poetess of India. Though born as a princess and married, Meera disowned her royalty, her queen, her being a queen, by telling people that she loved her Lord Krishna. Krishna is Vishnu, the creator's eighth incarnation. Mere to Giridhar Gopal, Dusro na koi, Meera had said. I know Giridhar Gopal. On a stormy day, raining, very heavy, lightning, thunder, rain, when everyone else was crying, worried, flood waters under the feet, walked little Krishna with a flute, looked around. He said, I can help you. And he said, with my little finger, I will lift this huge mountain. He didn't say that, he did it. And he stood as Govardhana Girdhari, as a person who raised a huge mountain with a fingertip, proving he is God. Meera said, I would marry him. I don't know anybody. How many times shall I tell you? When will you ever listen that my beloved is Krishna? The one who plays the flute. How many times? Tane kahin kahin ba sunava mara savara. My beloved is Giridhari. Since my previous birth, I have loved him dearly. Purab janamari preet purani. I throw flowers to welcome him. I'm so happy. I pray because my savara Giridhari. Indians, they have a thali for a day of, at the day of the wedding. It's called Mangal Sutra or a thali. Our sign of these are now. This is an engagement ring we had, but a sign of wedding normally is a thali. And it is black beaded or yellow threaded. But it has, this is a sign of a marriage. Beautiful body and hands he has. You, so adoringly handsome, please come to and bless my house. O Krishna, come walking, she sang in a bhajan. She said, I dress up for you, not to please anyone else but you. Mara Savara Giridhari. Dani Kain Kain Bol Sunava. It a 16th century poetess, one of the few women composers of India. And her compositions are majorly used in studies as well as in literature in India, as one of the few women composers. Dani Kain Kain Bol Sunava in Bharatanatyam style of dancing.
Maybe I can make comparisons.
Bharatanatyam. When you say eyes, you never mention eyes like this. This is eyes in modern technique. Suppose I say, oh, your eyes are beautiful. That's modern, contemporary. Bharatanatyam would always compare the eyes of a deer to beautiful. The implied meaning is much different than he was mischievous would not be implied saying he was mischievous. It wouldn't come like that. What did he do? He my part, this pebble, throw a stone, waterfall. This is a long sentence where he is mischievous. So it's like a text, reference to context, like Shakespeare. What is said is not what is in the lines. It's a lot more hidden in the lines. So I don't think any contemporary dance, another thing. Bharatanatyam is the body is treated like a trunk of a tree with hands moving. And I was telling the previous group, in order to show
one snake, the fingertips, the palm, the wrist, elbow, shoulder needs to move to show one snake move. Watch.
One little snake. Modern would be, and
that's modern.
So modern has this ethics of it.
But I truly believe that contemporary dancing comes with classical as a base. But also know that shaking your body and doing this is contemporary, which we don't believe in classical. We shake our eyes for sure, neck for sure. But we don't do that. And contemporary does not have footwork like the one I presented. I began with it, and I'd like to end with it if there are no more questions. If there are any more questions, I'd like to take a question.
Does the dancer ever sing the words?
Yes, I have to. When she graduates, I'll be the one conducting her orchestra. I'll be saying the words. But for me to say and dance is only to prove to you, because you're not aware of not coming from India. But I can do the same thing. If there are any other questions, I'd like to take that first. Then I'll conclude with it, because then I'll be breathless. Anything? Oh, people ask me what the significance of a tikka or a bindi is. We believe that we come from the dust and we have to go back to the dust. So 50, 60 years ago, my mother made me do this. When we used to get up, brush teeth, have our glass of whey and milk. Milk, whey. You know, that's what we had for kanji or rice. Previous days, no fridge then. Previous days, rice left over in water. The next morning, we used to drink the water because it's full of starch. That was our breakfast then. We used to go out of the house and pick up mitti or sand or dust. Apply to the forehead saying, seat of intelligence is here. Or the soul is here. I respect the soul. And that's how it was red dust before. Now it's beautiful stickers like this that's available in the market. And then this is also the sign, the orange color, the red color is also the sign of being married, so that no one else looks at you. Keep away, keep away, keep away, they would say if they see this. That's another reason. But then what she's wearing, because she's not married yet, not because of that, but that's ornamental nowadays. It's a fashion. Like men wearing earrings back home in India too is a fashion. But my masterjis had their ears pierced. They had diamonds in their ears. Because that was a sign of brahmacharya, or being a man ready to be married, a brahmacharya. But like I said, I would like to conclude with the tadiku dengutaka, which I'll repeat for some of you who just walked in again. Hope I'm not boring you. It's tadiku dengutaka, dengu dengutaka, ding ding ukuta. I need you to watch my feet later when I do this. Dengukuta. Kukuta, ding kutaka ding ding kutaka krtada dhalang kutaka tadiku ding kutaka ding ku ding kutaka ding ding kukuta, ding kukuta kukuta, ding kutaka ding kutaka krtada dhalang kutaka tadiku ding kuta takata ding kuta takata ding kuta takata ding kuta tadiku dhinku takata dhinku takata dhinku takata ding tadta ditta ta krutatargrutum tadta ditta tai krutatargrutum tadta ditta ta krutatargrutum. Now we dance barefoot in India. We have 14 pounds of bells and two bells tied on either legs. The reason I'm dressed up like this is you've already seen a child in costume, and I didn't want to show off in a costume. Besides, it's really wanted to show you what a national costume is. A salwar and a kameez. This is a kameez, which is like a pajama for y'all. Salwar is like a pajama and a kameez. This is our national costume. So we can squat flat on the floor without anything ripping. And the dupatta, we have a 101 usage of dupatta for the dummies. I could even wipe my sweat off my brow with my dupatta. I can use it as an umbrella when it rains on my head. When older people come in, as a sign of respect, I cover my hair with it as a married woman. And a child wants to sleep, I take it out, put it flat on the floor, and the child can sleep in it. Besides covering modesty. That is a sign of our dupattas. Contemporary dances, when you question me, does not have anything that shows we are modest enough. I also do not imply saying that just covering ourselves means we are modest. It doesn't mean that either. But a very simple step like a taiha taihi step. If you stand, it's vulgar. But when you sit in aramandi position, your body will not shake. It's proven in Bharatanatyam. For example, I'm not a big built person, but you can still see negativism when I show it. But the same thing in Bharatanatyam would be tai hat tai. The body moves will not be vulgar. That's Bharatanatyam. Now coming back to the last dance number, it is, we imagine me doing it with bells, 7 pounds on each leg. But I'll do it to you. The hand gestures before I conclude should. We have single 28 hand gestures and double 24 hand gestures. A single 5 fingers together is pataka, hasta, gesture. It means I, proud of yourself, you, young lady, he, she. Up in the sky, down below, no, go, huge. Land, wind, water, my heart is beating, keeps on repeating. The same thing, hand gestures of 5 fingers together. Same thing with kapita, a bird in a stalk. That's my son. A bird in flight. Now this is Ardha Chandra, half a moon. On top of each other is a fish. Across each other is the bird. And you know the rest. You don't have to explain that. But I'll go ahead and do the last nirtya piece. Tadikudinka. It's a jati. It's composed of many little steps of dancing. We beat our feet and raise a lot of noise. This floor is not the right floor because there's got a lot of patches in it and the sand is really slippery on it. But we dance barefoot. But I'd like to show you the tadikudinku part. Thank you.